Thank you very much for that special music. Indeed, it was very special. A happy Sabbath to all of you. Hope you're staying cool in the state of Arizona, the Copper State. You know, I was thinking the other day how special it is for us to realize just who modern Israel is. Honestly, most of the world today has no idea who Israel is, but you know. We have a booklet, of course, called United States, Britain, and Prophecy, which goes through who Israel is, and of course, it's tied to Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant, and God went through the pieces of that were cut in two, and that covenant was instituted, and all of us enjoy the greatest blessings amongst all the earth because of that single promise that God gave Abraham. And we are descendants of Abraham in this nation, you know, of Ephraim and Manasseh. And from this blessing, America and England and other Israelite nations were founded. The very laws of this nation was founded on biblical law. And some these days say America is the strongest it has ever been. Does that statement shock you a little bit, given everything you see going on in the news and what Mr. Knudsen just talked about? An article from The Atlantic I recently read by Roger Karma states that the U.S. economy has reached superstar status. And I don't know if this is fake news or not, so just bear with me. This article mentions that America's economic performance has left all other countries in the dust. The growth rate is high. The unemployment rate is at historic lows, household wealth is surging, and wages are rising faster than costs for the working class. Now, I'm not so sure any of us feel this way. When you go to the grocery store, when you need to buy fuel, I think the average citizen does not feel as if we're in superstar status. But when we review Bible prophecy, we can come to realize that all of this is a facade, all of it. We've always been one pandemic away from destruction. We've always been one major war from catastrophe. It's a deck of cards that we're built upon in the way this economy and this people's has evolved over time. Yet, God continues to bless this great nation. We are immensely blessed. We are immensely strong. But are we? Is this nation as strong as it ever was? Today I'd like to review a biblical prophecy and contemplate, is America blessed or is it becoming cursed? And we'll identify a few indicators that we can use to explore this from a biblical worldview perspective. And we truly cannot make sense of all this if we do not understand who Israel is. Why is the United States a superpower? And I'm not going to go through that today. I just mentioned a booklet that you can study to understand that further. But it's really hard to understand further prophecy without knowing who we are and why we're in the position we're in and the Abrahamic covenant and what God has done for the people of Israel since the inception of Israel through Abraham. And what we find is, all of you mostly know, I would imagine, that a new superpower is coming. China and Russia want to be that superpower. There's a time, as we find in Scripture, where America will not be what it is today. And you can study that in the book of Daniel and Revelation 3, chapters 6, 13, and 17. And I was reading an article recently by Mr. Darris McNeely, and he was talking about prophecy. And how his thought was, throughout time, biblical prophecy, it can ebb and flow. Sometimes it slows down, and sometimes it speeds up. And Mr. McNeely felt in this article that time is most certainly speeding up as it relates to Bible prophecy. I would agree with that. Most of you I've talked about this with probably agree with that from what I know. It just seems things are happening quicker than they ever have, especially in my lifetime. You know, I was born in the 80s. Some of you were born in the 50s and 60s. And you've seen the full transformation of this country and a huge difference in the culture and in morality. But there's one prophecy I want to focus on today related to Israel, which will show us what will happen to this country and why. And of course, we can find this prophecy in Deuteronomy 28 if you want to turn there. And this, of course, is the blessings and cursings prophecy. You could also read Leviticus 26, which is an identical giving of this prophecy. And this prophecy is, in essence, a summary of actions and consequences, or, as was said in the sermonette, choices and consequence. And Israel has always destroyed itself by its own actions. We see that as written in Scripture. It has happened time and time again. And America and other Israelite nations will most definitely repeat this in history and do the same in the future. The reality is, and we know this, the transgression of God's law has consequences. And therefore, if this nation continues to ignore the laws of God, the consequences within this prophecy will come to fruition. And it's a very sobering prophecy. But while you have your finger there in Deuteronomy 28, I want to share this thought with you in Jeremiah 2, verse 19. Jeremiah 2, verse 19 says, "Your own wickedness will correct you." And it says, "And your backslidings will rebuke you. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts." So we know that following God's law has positive consequences. Conversely, breaking God's law has negative consequences. And as is shown by Jeremiah, our own wickedness will correct us. I'll give you an example. What about ignoring the sanctity of marriage? What kind of consequences does that have for this nation? Well, the family unit is the very fabric of society and of this nation. It is the strength of the future of this nation. And it destroys the family unit when you don't have marriage. It breaks hearts. It causes diseases because of immoral practices. You have fatherless and motherless children. These children grow up having mental health issues and sometimes make even worse choices than they would have if they had a father and a mother, and so much more when you really think about just the sanctity of marriage. And yet these consequences we're seeing all around us in society. Money fundamentally is not the strength of this nation. It is morality. And if you go to an immoral or I'll call it a pagan culture anywhere in this world, you will see a difference in the obedience of law, the establishment of law. Israelite nations simply do it better because it was mostly founded on the laws of God. As we turn our attention back to Deuteronomy 28, you know the backstory. There's five books of the Bible of which God gave to Moses to write. And Deuteronomy was given to Moses by God prior to him entering, and the Israelites, well, he never entered, but prior to Israelites entering the Promised Land. And Deuteronomy is the re-giving. You know, initially this was given in Leviticus, and this is a re-giving, and I think even more clearer. And God focuses a lot on what he's trying to convey to Israel. But God explains in great detail what will happen if Israel obeys his instruction. They will be greatly blessed. And he will share with us what will happen if they disobey. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." It will be so great, you won't even understand how wonderful it is. It'll just overwhelm you. "And all these blessings shall come and overtake you because you obeyed the Lord your God." And then God gives clarity on what are these blessings going to look like. Well, blessed in your city, blessed in your country. the fruit of your body, your children will be blessed. The produce of the ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and offspring, the kneading bowl, you know, the wheat and the grain of which we have in this nation. Whenever you go somewhere, you'll be blessed, and when you leave, you'll be blessed. The Lord will cause enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, and they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. We have won the majority of wars we have ever fought in the last 200 plus years. This certainly has happened. The Lord will command the blessings on you and your storehouses in which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord God has given you. And then it says in verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he swore unto you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And this points back to the Abrahamic covenant, where Abraham committed to God that he would follow his ways. Jacob did it as well. Isaac, Joseph, they all were convicted to living God's way of life and to be a special people. And why is this? Verse 10, it says, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. So the Israelite nations were to be the example, the model nation, the difference between all other nations. And this says, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and then in the produce of your ground in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain to your land in its seasons, and to bless all the work of your hand. And it says, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Has that happened? Seems like that's been changing recently. Verse 13, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right, to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Very clear and concise blessing of which God conveys to his people. This applies to us all today here in this nation, and most definitely in the Church of God. And when we contemplate the blessings we have, it is overwhelming how greatly blessed we have each of us been in all of our lives. Not only the nation of which we live, but us individually. We have so much. Even the poorest of this nation is richer than most people in the world. Think about that. The poorest in our nation live better than the majority of this world. What we have cannot be compared at all. And how we live has never been so great in the history of mankind. The luxury of which we have, everything's at our fingertips. We have what we need, and usually we have what we want. That's how blessed we are. When we consider this country and the beautiful vistas and the mountains and the rivers and the streams and the wildlife and the natural resources and all that we have, the beauty, even the harshest environments are absolutely beautiful. We live in the Sonoran Desert, one of the most beautiful, I would argue, the most beautiful desert in the face of this planet. We all have a roof over our head. We have food in our mouth. I would imagine you all had a wonderful breakfast this morning, wonderful Sabbath breakfast. There's beauty around us. There's life. There's everything we need, and what we want is available. It is overwhelming to contemplate how greatly blessed we are. But we find that with this blessing awaits a curse, of which God does not want to allow to occur, but he will, if the peoples of this land transgress the laws of God. I want you to notice something as you look here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, how small the blessing chapters are and how long the cursing chapters are. God spent more time talking about the curses, which I'm going to do today, than about the blessings. Isn't that interesting? That's because it's a very serious matter, and he wanted to be crystal clear in what is going to happen to this nation if they do not heed. We do not heed the word of God. So let's pick it up here, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. And it says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments and all of his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." So before you were overtaken by blessings, and now you will be overtaken by curses. "And cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country, cursed shall your basket and kneading bowl." All these blessings will be removed, in essence. "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and the increase of your cattle and of the offspring of your flocks." So this is one indicator to kind of contemplate, where are we at in this blessing versus curse? You know, for decades, the United States has been the primary exporter of food. In fact, we produced so much food we didn't consume a lot of it, mostly wheat and grain and corn. That changed in 2005 when we became a top importer of food. And it might not sound like a large percentile, but about 15% of the United States food that is consumed is imported from other countries. And that equates to about $79 billion annually in imported goods, just food alone. So in essence, so to meet the demand of this nation, a growing nation, we have to buy food that is not grown in this nation, which means we do not have the capacity to produce our own food holistically. What happens if these countries no longer to sell to the United States? Would we be able to feed this nation? Right now, it looks like we could. But that could dramatically change. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We think about the flocks, the cattle, the offspring of these flocks. We've seen an increase in mortality rates of our livestock over the last 10 years. And what that means is you have more and more cattle dying every year. I got information from a computerized dairy record system suggests that mortality rates have continually increased over the last 10 years. In some states, adult cow mortality exceeds 10% per year. And of course, we're talking about millions and millions of lost dollars and meat that can't go on the market because of this very extremely important problem. So most of you eat beef. Chickens have been contracting bird flu. You don't see a lot about that on the news, but it's a rather substantial problem. According to AP on News article, it was stated that last week the virus was confirmed in an egg farm west of Minneapolis, Minnesota, leading to the slaughter of 1.4 million chickens. Over 92.34 million birds have been killed since the outbreak began in 2022, and that is according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This curse mentions that the fruit of the body will be cursed. You know, when we think about what this country has done with legalizing abortion, and basically we have told the world as a nation that we do not value human life. That's precisely what we're telling others when they see the example set by the United States with abortion. And roughly about over 600,000 babies are aborted every year. And so for every 100 children conceived, about 20 are aborted. And since 1973, over 63 million children have been aborted. To put that in perspective, I looked up some of the populations of countries that we're all familiar with. So to put it in perspective, France's total current population as of 2024 is 64 million people. Italy is 58 million. United Kingdom is 67 million people. So this is the equivalent of the genocide of a nation of which has occurred on American soil. Think about that. And it's all self-inflicted. And guess what? Most of these curses are self-inflicted. Every 4.5 minutes, a U.S. baby is born with a birth defect. Over 120,000 babies a year have birth defects, which is one out of every 33. So you start looking at these, you know, somewhat depressing statistics. But cursed is the body. There's a lot of problems here in the United States, and it is mainly because of the actions of its people. Continuing in verse 19, it says, "Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." Verse 20, "The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me." You know, we think about this scripture. Do we see confusion in this society? Absolutely. No one knows what to think about on perhaps any subject matter. There's a lot of confusion out there. We live in a time of misinformation, lying, fake news. Social media is weaponized, even used by our enemies to influence the outcomes of elections, etc. It seems every governmental decision that is being made is just designed to destroy America, seemingly, from what we see in the news. In this country, we have pro-Hamas demonstrators, and we also have pro-Israel. And if only these people realize that Israel is Judah, as was mentioned in the announcements, and they are our brother. We are Israel. They are Israel. We're brothers. But people don't understand the background behind this and get confused and draw very strong conclusions as to what is right and wrong as it relates to the right for a sovereign nation to defend itself. You know, citizens here in the United States is confused about morality. One, a subject of which you and I don't see any confusion, right? We know the truth. It's God's word. The standard, the royal standard, is in the Bible, and it's paved out in God's law. Churches currently, and this has been going on for years, are divided just on the subject of same-sex marriage. Some people think it's right. Other people think it's wrong. And there's been splits in worldly churches because of this very subject matter. Even the very gender of a man or a woman is in question. How could that be? One of the most simplest facts of life is no longer seen as a simple fact. And many, even purported Christians, agree with this philosophy of not believing there really needs to even be a gender. And as was mentioned during announcements, because Mr. Knutson and Mr. Babb and Mr. Carews all gave my message, just so you know. Well, you know, the laws of this very nation that was put in place by this nation are being ignored. So not only are we not following God's law, we're not following our own law. It's lawlessness. I never thought I'd see that in my life. But that is the reality of what's occurring in America, and not just America. Israelite nations are all following suit with this. So not only is God rejected, but so is the very government, the law, of which was founded on the laws of God, the biblical laws. Verse 21, it says, "The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with sword and scorching, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish." And have we seen plagues? Have we seen sickness? It's not just COVID. COVID's the most recent example. You know, we had a total of 104 million cases of COVID over the last few years, purportedly about 1.1 million deaths associated with COVID. Not sure if I trust that, if that's misinformation or not, but many people have died from a plague. We've seen many other things in the United States, likely associated with the actions taken by people and the government of this nation. You know of influenza, very common, AIDS, very rampant in the 70s and 80s. The Spanish flu, perhaps one of the largest things that happened to this nation from a pandemic perspective. That was in 1918. That killed 678,000 U.S. people. In 1957 to 1958, H2N2 killed 116,000 Americans. In 1968, H3N2, the Hong Kong flu, killed 100,000. And you probably remember in 2009, H1N1 swine flu, that killed 575,000 Americans. In 2022, about 608,000 people died of cancer. That is the second leading cause of death in the United States, which is referenced here in this prophecy. Heart disease is actually the primary cause of death in the United States. And if you look at just the statistics on that, about 695,000 Americans die annually due to heart complications. As of in January 2024, there's a study looking into inflammation in America. This scripture talks about having inflammation and severe burning. About 34.6% of Americans have systemic inflammation. Another study shows that 35% of adults have a chronic inflammation. Roughly 133 Americans suffer from a form of inflammation. And according to the CDC, 6 in 10 adults in the U.S. have a chronic disease, and 4 in 10 have two or more chronic diseases. You know, we spend annually as a country $3.5 trillion on health care costs. That's about $10,000 per person. So do we have sickness? Absolutely. Even though we're very blessed, we have a lot of sickness in this nation, and we're all subject to it. We're all in the same environment. It's just an unfortunate fact of being kicked out of the Garden of Eden and choosing to live the way of get rather than the way of give. But these are just some samples of health issues. There's many, many, many more we could review. And mental health, obviously, is a major issue in America because the world is so crazy and doesn't make sense. And morality has declined. Verse 23 of Deuteronomy 28, it says, "And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust, and from the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed." And you look at modern technology has enabled greater output of agriculture, unlike we've ever seen in human history. I mean, it's unbelievable, the technology that occurs right now in the U.S. and in other countries. So as a result, you have farmers that can do the work of 100 people just by themselves. You know, they don't need as many people to work the land. You have heavy equipment to do that. But, you know, what if the fertilizer is unaffordable or unavailable? Most of it comes from overseas, some of it from Texas. Well, what if you can't get diesel fuel or you can't afford it? Can you farm then? And what if God shuts the rain down, like he says he will do, because we have not followed God's ways? You simply don't have enough people, enough labor to provide food enough for America manually, by hand, to carry water, to you know, reap, sow and wheat, reap the fields. It's just not, it's not possible. So, I mean, we can see a circumstance here where if other nations were to cut off imports, we weren't able to produce food, starvation would start occurring in the United States, which is hard to even fathom at this point in time, given how blessed we are today. Verse 25, it says, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth." You know, as the U.S. economy booms and money continues to be made, other nations are not so fortunate and actually are becoming poorer and hate the United States for that. Some, as was mentioned in the announcements, have decided to move away from the American dollar. The BRICS have gotten together to do that. Obviously, a very geopolitical issue, but could have severe economic impacts to the United States and other Israelite nations. Yeah, I mean, economically is just one example of how we could become a burden to the world. Just that alone. I mean, it's a house of cards that could fall at any moment, and that would be a burden. Another way is simple military defeat. It's hard to even fathom somebody coming onto U.S. soil and defeating the United States of America. But as we'll read, that will happen. But when we think about this vacuum has to be created, a superpower has to be removed, which is the United States, for the new superpower to come in. And we don't know how it's all going to fit, but that is what has to happen. And given the decisions this country is making, it's likely going to happen in the way precisely the Bible maps out. When you think about the more recent wars of which we've undertaken as a nation, Korea, my grandfather was in the Korean War. I know many have relatives that were impacted by that. Vietnam, Iraq, most recently Afghanistan. When you think about those wars, they were inconclusive wars. Did anybody really win in Vietnam or in Iraq? You lost a lot of lives, friendly and unfriendly, but they were inconclusive. And it's interesting how the United States has approached that. In an effort to maintain peace, we simply keep a presence in those locations and spend billions of untold dollars to keep the peace in those regions, because we fundamentally did not win, we did not defeat, we did not change, as we had done with other countries such as Japan, if you look at what happened there. Without the strong hand of a blessed America, this nation would most certainly become troublesome to the whole world. Today we stabilize the world in so many facets. In the future, according to this prophecy, we will be destabilizing the world because of the great burden we will cast on this planet. Continuing in verse 26, it says, "Your carcasses shall be for food, all the birds of the air and beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. And the Lord will strike you with boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scabs, with itch, from which you cannot be healed. And the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart." Verse 30, it says, "You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not gather its grapes." It's just horrific what could happen here. "Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from you, and you shall not be restored. It shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies and have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight of your eyes see, and the Lord will strike you in the knee and the leg with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head." So this scripture, 26 through 35, speaks to the military defeat of the Israelite nation, further suffering of health epidemics, slavery of people, a failure to be able to produce crops, and those that are produced are given to our enemies. Our families will be stripped away from us. There will be nothing we can do about it. Then maybe at this point, when America and other Israelite nations are in such dire straits, human life might be relevant, might be understood, might be valued, as it is not today. And then verse 36, it says, "The Lord will bring you and the king who you set over you." Isn't that interesting how God clarifies that? "I didn't appoint this king, you did. To a nation which neither knew you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, and you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you." So this further emphasizes slavery and the peoples of our land being taken to another land, and the world will hate us. Can you imagine the scene here? Our president being held captive, taken to a foreign country and enslaved in this pagan nation. It's unfathomable to think about, but it will happen. Verse 38, it says, "You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in. For the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor of the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive shall drop off. And you'll have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they go into captivity." So we'll still try to be producing food to survive, to have a family. But everything we do, everything is cursed. And it will all be done in toil while seeing the horror of the world around us change. Verse 43, It says, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. And he shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And this particular part of the prophecy appears to be a gradual progression of prophecy, where they become greater and greater, and we become lesser and lesser. If you think about foreign aid in 2019, I wish I had 24 and 23 numbers, but they don't publish them in a timely manner. But in 2019, we provided $39.2 billion in foreign aid to other countries, some of the countries I just mentioned that we went to war with. But that's how much money we spend every year. And in essence, we've bought our friends. We've bought our lovers to stabilize the world. Well, what happens when you don't have that money anymore? $39.2 billion, I'd rather spend that on food for the American people to eat. And we do this every single year, and we have done so since this has been a nation. Meanwhile, we're in debt $34 trillion to others. So this scripture could be speaking to those who come afar. It could also be speaking to the illegal immigration problem we have right here, right now, in the United States. I tend to think it's both, from what I've read in these scriptures. And if you think about the immigration problem that's occurred, since February of 2021, DHS stated that they had 6.5 million encounters of illegals into the U.S. Of those encounters, 4.2 million have been released in the United States. Think about that, 4.2 million people. This is not just people from Mexico. It's people from all around the world. In fact, Chinese people from Asia and China. In fact, China is actually funding hostels to bring Chinese citizens up through South America into the United States. Sounds like an invasion almost. It could be one. Honduras, Venezuela, Central Europe, America, Europe, Asia, even from people from the Middle East are coming through. Is this an issue? Yes. It's a major issue. We don't know who's coming through. And these are people who largely do not speak English. They have a language we do not know. They do not follow biblical laws, although I hope they all do. I know they don't. Maybe there's a few, and I don't judge them for that. But people who bring these laws of their country into our land, think about the implications to a society when you start diluting it with the peoples who are not aligned with your values, are not aligned with biblical law. What does that do to a society? Are these people pro-America? And even more importantly, are they pro-God and God's way of life and biblical law? So what this prophecy shows us is the people who is from another country will rise above us and not only loan us money and we're going to be in debt to them, they're going to rule over us. And do I know who that is? No, but I do know that as we look at the landscape around us, those are two likely scenarios. Somebody from a foreign land coming to militarily defeat us, and others illegally coming in and just overwhelming the nation with foreign peoples. If we just set aside America's moral issues, deficiencies, failures, and we think about this one problem alone, perhaps this will be one of the greatest contributors to the nation's, America's fall in its history. And someday we may have an illegal immigrant president. It's not that far off. What would happen if any of us tried to enter another country illegally? I've been to Germany and Italy and France and Australia, and they have pretty tight security when you go through there. If they just try to storm the gates and run in, you know what they do? They arrest you, and they put you in jail, and they prosecute you. Because it's not my country. There's a process to follow because it's a lawful society of which we should be in. Even unfriendly nations understand this and do this. If you tried to break into Russia, good luck getting out of jail. So that gives you a sense of how lawless the minds of this nation are in thinking that it's okay. It's okay to break law. There's a sovereignty to this nation. Nations must have some level of sovereignty And for some time, this nation has not been treated with sovereignty, but rather does not even follow its own law. It's very scary to see this happening, this mentality. Verse 45 of Deuteronomy 28 says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be a sign, they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness." And so God takes away the wonderful blessing that we have. It says, verse 49, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as a swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, no sure favor, show favor to the young. And then again, they're going to eat all of our food and take all of our oil and have all of our wine. You know, I've been studying parallel religion to understand the Muslim beliefs. And what the scripture defines in several scriptures, it's very possible that it's a Muslim people that is being spoken of here. I don't know that as a fact, but they believe that this land is theirs today. They have warned the United States through their terrorist acts and communications, and they believe that after you've been, the infidel has been warned and you don't convert to Islamic faith, then you can be defeated, you can be taken over. You know, they consider Israelite peoples like swine. There's no respect for children and women. They attack the rear ranks. Very much aligns with what we see there. We see many Muslim-based countries today partnering with China and Russia, as Mr. Knutson mentioned. And they're seeking to destroy not only the U.S. dollar, but the U.S. in general. And so through all this, God emphasizes again, that whatever we produce will go to this enemy. In verse 52, it says, "They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down through all your land, and they shall besiege you at your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given to you. You shall eat fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters from whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege of desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you." So the cities will be destroyed, and infrastructure of this land, which is hard to believe given how wonderful America is and the great infrastructure that we have. This time will be so bad that cannibalism is going to occur. Can you imagine that in America? And actually, this did occur in the past. Josephus documents in 70 AD when Jerusalem was surrounded by Roman armies that people began starving and cannibalism occurred. And so this speaks to how bleak Israel will be, how sad, how desperate. And all morality is set aside and the nation is in absolute depravity and desperation. I'll paraphrase for the sake of time, but 54 through 56 talks about a delicate and tender and refined man and a woman, and how that they're going to not even take care of their own family. They're going to be all about themselves. And we'll skip to verse 58. And again, this is God speaking. He says, "If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God." You know, we say that we are a nation under God, but our lawless actions did not show that. You know, God says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Today, many are trying to eliminate law. They're trying to eliminate the police department, of all things, which, of course, is part of the executive branch of the United States government and is there to enforce law and ensure law and order. Any semblance of a biblically lawful society is being challenged today in the courts, in the morality of how people think, in the way that people think of morality in our society. If people believe that if you remove the penalty of the law, then the law doesn't need to be followed. so then I can do whatever I want. I can create my own version of the law. Ultimately, that's what's happening in front of our very eyes. This nation does not fear the laws of this land, of which we created based on biblical law, and we do not fear God's laws. Verse 59, it says, "Then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. He will bring you back all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and shall cling to you." And in verse 62, it says, "You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude." This is referencing the Abrahamic covenant and what God promised about Israel. You used to be as the stars of heaven in multitude. "But because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God, and it shall be, you know, just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing." And then notice this in verse 64. "Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest. Your foot will not have a resting place, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, an anguishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life." So there was an initial scattering of Israel. This is talking about a greater scattering of Israel where no longer will be together the nation. But this is also speaking to enslavement, the removal of the blessings of which God has given us, which has not entirely occurred yet. To think of living a life where assurance of life is not sure. Think about that. We don't have to deal with that in the United States. I mean, we worry about a car accident or something like that. But to live a life where there's no assurance of life, anything could happen. A time is coming where this curse will be a great curse on the house of Israel, and that includes America. And final part of this prophecy in verse 68, it says, "And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way, which I set to you. You shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you." I've always wondered, how would we end up in another nation? How could America be enslaved? We're so great. There's so many of us. I mean, imagine millions of Americans being taken to foreign lands, foreign countries on ships. You know, if you think about it, if all of our cities are destroyed, all the fortifications broken down, no food, none of the luxuries that and things that we need, you have to go somewhere. This would be a humanitarian crisis never seen by the world at such scale, if and when this happens. And this prophecy indicates that we'll be enslaved in our own land as well as foreign lands, foreign countries. And what's interesting is it mentions Egypt, and it's obviously a symbolic of the world, going out into the world. So I'm not sure if it's literal or figurative Egypt. Either way, it's horrific. You're going into slavery regardless. But, you know, there's also economic slavery, and most certainly from what we see in Scripture, physical slavery. If you're so fortunate to actually be bought by someone, because apparently nobody will want to buy us, likely because we'll be starving and weak and have all these health issues. So in reviewing these prophecies, what do you think? Is America cursed? We can look around and see what's happening. We can see that the times are changing. America is morally becoming lower and lower, sinking as a country. It's not what we want. It's just what we see happening in this world. And perhaps blessings and cursings is exactly like Mr. Darris McNeely said around prophecy, because this is a prophecy. And there's ebb and flow, and it slows down and it speeds up. And most definitely what we see now at this current moment is it's speeding up. If Israelite nations, such as America, continue to morally decline and cancel God and cancel his law, America most certainly will be cursed greater and greater. And today we enjoy great wealth, great blessing, great strength, a great nation, despite all of our problems and all of our sins. And at the current rate of moral decline, we will have great poverty, great weakness, and a great curse. The great tribulation will occur. The time of Jacob's trouble will come to fruition. All of this is interconnected to the actions of the peoples of this nation and Israelite nations across the world. And we can't control this. Only God can help. And it's up to each of us as a human being on this planet to make the right choices. It's up to the leadership of this nation to realize that their decisions matter and there's consequences. Not sure if that's going to happen or not. Probably not. We need a nation that repents, that follows God, that fears God. When reviewing this prophecy, we find that God does not have to curse us because the nation curses itself due to its actions. Think about that. We're doing it to ourselves. Our own choice is causing this to happen, the national sins. I want to share with you a quote Mr. Abraham Lincoln gave a long time ago, and I guarantee you he read Deuteronomy 28. After I read this, you'll see why. But Abraham Lincoln was contemplating the future of America and what was its greatest threat. And he said, "From whence shall we expect the approach of danger?" You know, where is danger going to come for America? He said, "Shall some transatlantic military giant step the earth and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe and Asia could not be forced to take a drink from the Ohio River or make a track on the Blue Ridge in the trial of 1,000 years. No, if destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher." Think about that. He says, "As a nation of free men, we will live forever or die by suicide." Now, Deuteronomy 28 is sobering and thought-provoking. And today we are fundamentally seeing this nation die by self-inflicted suicide. It's a reality check to really study this and understand what the impacts of our actions are. And when we're contemplating Deuteronomy 28, we've all got to wake up to the reality of what's going on in the world around us. Dwelling on this helps us to understand that our actions have consequences. What this nation and its leaders are doing has consequences. And it's national suicide if we can continue to go down the road we're going. You know, David spoke about this, knowing about a time of trouble. He contemplated this time and said in Psalm 20, verse 1, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, and may the name of God of Jacob defend you." So the real question is, will God answer our prayer in our time of trouble? Will we be part of the curse or the blessing? Will we go down with this great country, or will we rise up with our Lord and Savior? Will we be enslaved or given ultimate freedom and a place of safety and ultimately eternal life in the kingdom of God? It is up to us to ensure we uphold the royal standard of the laws of God and be blessed. Again, David, one final scripture I'd like to turn to, wrote about this in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 1, he said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." And you and I know what the way is. Most people don't know what the way is. But Christ followed the way. The disciples followed the way. We follow the way. And it says, "Who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently, and oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments, and I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. This nation will reap what it has sown. That is going to happen, especially if they do not repent and turn to God. And likewise, let us not let this curse strike us down, because if we're making the wrong choices, if we're not following God's ways, it applies to us. If we're not repenting, we must remember that, always remember that actions have consequences, and these prophecies show us the reality and the horror of what those consequences are. So let's ensure we not be ashamed